In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thanks for joining us, and happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Let's meet the crew. I'm Brett Molina. I play video games. And the Disney live-action movie I'd most like to watch is Moana, mostly because we'd get The Rock in all his glory and splendor.
I'm Brian Truitt. I watch movies. And the Disney live-action movie I would want to watch is Wes Anderson's Robin Hood, because I feel like the Fantastic Fox, Mr. Fox animation with like the old school like Robin Hood with like the Fox Robin and the Lion Sheriff and everything. Aces. Let's do this.
I'm Kelly Lawler. I watch television, and the Disney live action movie I would like to watch is The Black Cauldron, which is based on a great series of novels, but was turned into a rather mediocre animated film. So it only serves that it would be a good live action fantasy series a la Lord of the Rings for kids.
Oh, that's very interesting. I like that idea.
They're great books. Have your kids read them.
If this is your first time listening, welcome. New episodes of The Mothership drop every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you like to listen. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would be overjoyed if you could write a quick review about the show and give us a wonderful rating. By doing that, you'll help other fans who love nerdy pop culture find us. And as a bonus, we will give you a very special shout out on the next episode. So everybody wins. You get a shout out. We get a lovely review. It's all upside for everybody. Don't forget, along with leaving a review, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at Mothership Pod, or you can send an email to mothershippod@usatoday.com. Main topic. Let us show you the world full of shining, shimmering splendor. Here's a clip.
Prince Ali, fabulous, he, Ali Ababwa. Show some respect, boy, genuflect, down on one knee. Try your best to stay calm. Brush up your Friday salon. Then come and meet a spectacular coterie. Prince Ali, mighty as he, Ali Ababwa. Strong as 10 regular men, definitely. He's faced a galloping horse. 100 bad guys with swords. Who sent those ghouls to their lord? Why, Prince Ali? Fellas, he's got
that was from the live-action remake of Aladdin, which is in theaters next week. We'll explain why we're talking about it now in a moment. It stars Mina Massoud in the title role, Naomi Scott as Jasmine, Marwan Kenzari as Jafar, and, of course, Will Smith as the genie, which everyone on the internet has talked about for quite a while now, for many reasons. So we're going to talk about Aladdin, obviously, plus also Disney's direction with all this live-action remake stuff. How is it going? What are they doing right? What are they doing wrong? They have other stuff coming up like The Lion King. They also just released Dumbo. Kind of where are we all at with all this Disney live-action stuff? So the reason why we're talking about it now is we had actually debated talking about Game of Thrones this week because obviously there is the next to last episode that just aired and everybody is in a tizzy over it for one reason or another. We figured we would save it to next week because the finale will have already aired. And so there will be lots of thoughts on Game of Thrones as a whole, how it stuck the landing with its finale. And
how it didn't stick the landing with its finale.
Or how we should watch the last episode to figure out a character's arc.
I'm going to stop. You know? I'm going to stop you both right there because we're going to have a whole podcast next week to talk about this. So we'll save it for all for next week. In the meantime, Disney live action stuff. Let's start with Aladdin. On a scale of 1 to 100, how scared are you that this remake is going to be not great, Bob?
I won't see it until next on Tuesday. I'm like 80% scared.
What is it that's scaring you the most? Is there a collection of things?
Well, you know, the blue genie thing that freaked me out a little bit. But I was just like, okay, you know, it's the first time we've seen a character. I'm not going to jump to too many conclusions. And I mean, kind of as the trailers have gone on, it looks, seems more and more kind of like the animated classic. And it's, you know, the whole new world's there, and there's a new Princess Jasmine song done by Alan Menken, so that's probably not horrible. But then, so we just played a clip of it. There's a Prince Ali song sung by Will Smith. It's a whole clip. Terrible. And then, like, A Friend Like Me is going to be like him and DJ Khaled now, apparently.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm a little scared. And I kind of have a problem with all these things just in general, because you know the animated classics are still really good, you know, things generations should kind of like watch and savor and everything else. And then I mean Lion King is coming out like 20 years after the first one's good. The first one, yeah, I think got a Best Picture nomination, I think, or something, I can't remember. In general, I'm a little irked by the live action adaptations of things that don't need to be remade. So just starting from there, I'm a little scared of this.
Kelly.
I agree with Brian about that clip of Prince Ali. I saw a tweet, and now I can't remember who said it, but it was something like Guy Ritchie, who directed this Aladdin remake, is married to Madonna. And it was like, how has Guy Ritchie been married to Madonna for all these years and doesn't know how to direct a musical? And I mean, that's the thing. It was like, it was weirdly cut. I don't know. And the bright colors and everything kind of makes sense in animation, but then you put it in live action and it starts to feel cheesy and campy in a bad way. No offense, Met Gala. So, yeah, that's concerning. Also, I think especially with the genie, they had like a problem they can't solve, because not many animated performances are iconic, but Robin Williams as the genie is one of them. And the fact that he was so good at that, and that genie did so many things that won't be possible in live action, because they just had him like turn into like all the different characters Robin Williams was improvising as he did the voiceovers, because they could just draw them all. It'd be like really expensive to turn Will Smith into crazy CGI things now. And the thing is, also, Robin Williams died very tragically and very famously. And so going back to something that he did so well feels weird. I think had, you know, they got James Earl Jones back to do Mufasa in The Lion King, which makes a lot of sense. But had James Earl Jones said no, it wouldn't have been as weird for them to find a new person to voice Mufasa as it is to have someone do the genie, if that makes sense. Because Robin Williams has this, like, air of mystery and magic because his life was so tragic and he was so beloved.
I think one of the big reasons why the Aladdin thing is weird is because, like you said, Robin Williams, he's a known person. I think these other remakes have been people that you don't really know. So to get a celebrity to fill in that spot, it feels a little more forgivable. And I mean, I think not having James Earl Jones, that's kind of a tough one, because he's just got a commanding voice.
Well, no, not that I say that they should have gotten rid of him.
He's alive too.
Yeah, and he's alive.
Well, that helps. Yeah. but you know, I mean,
the bigger problem here is Will Smith's not playing the genie. Will Smith's playing Will Smith.
Yeah.
This is like Wild Wild West Will Smith, just in a genie costume.
That's not good.
It's weird because that clip that I heard today, he sounded really auto-tuned. And I'm like, why does he need to be auto-tuned? He's actually a musician, as opposed to Emma Watson, who is not a singer and needed to be auto-tuned. Although they should have just dubbed her. I want dubbing to come back, honestly, if they're going to keep doing all these live-action musicals with celebrities that can't sing.
So quick question. How much of that, I think it was Entertainment Weekly, the cover, the Aladdin cover. How much of Will Smith not being full genie with the blue everything, how much did that affect people's perceptions of what this movie was going to be?
So, I mean, that was probably good to like get him out front not looking blue.
But people were like, why isn't he blue? And then he was blue.
And then
people
he was
were
blue,
like,
and then you're like, ooh.
He looks crazy. And I think that's just, you know, again, no win situation, iconic character, beloved movie, and it's too soon. No one really compared how Dumbo looked to the old Dumbo because it's been a really long time, you know?
But in the thing was, and I'm probably the only person who liked Dumbo, but the fact was that Dumbo, the cartoon, was like, what, an hour long, 70 minutes long? And it was just like, there was really no plot. So this was like an actual plot that looked interesting. It was like Tim Burton was going, you had a, you know, a guy with a definite vision taking something everybody knows and making it his own. This is just like, okay, we're gonna slap some new songs on it, but this is pretty much a remake of the cartoon. Like Lion King, probably like John Favreau's new Jungle Book, was photorealistic animals pretty much just doing the old Jungle Book movie. That's what Lion King looks like, but with like Beyonce.
Can I discuss something here that irks me every time we're talking about all these Disney remakes? Not us specifically, I mean like people in general.
Mm-hmm.
Calling the Lion King live action.
Absolutely, yeah. Fair point. Absolutely.
And that's the thing. I think when Jon Favreau's Jungle Book came out, it was the first one of what has become a trend. And so we didn't necessarily know that it was going to become this like inescapable trend. And it was really novel and it was really cool. And especially when they didn't use animals, which is like, you know, animals can get abused on film sets and stuff. Like, and they had the one kid in it and he was so good. And it was something that none of us had ever seen before. And that was a really big part of the majesty. The movie was older, so I hadn't seen The Jungle Book since I was a kid, so I forgot that it was like a shot-for-shot remake until I revisited the animated movie a little bit later. So I think that was a success. And then repeating that with The Lion King, which is a much more famous movie that debuted much more recently, that has no human element, so it's all CGI fake animals, is a mistake. And I think it's not going to... I don't know. I mean, I think it'll make a lot of money, but I just don't think it's going to be received very well. You know, when Beauty and the Beast came out, I saw a lot of people talking about the fact that when you made a clock, a real clock, instead of an animated clock, he can't emote. He can't have facial expressions. Like, you know, those animated household objects in Beauty and the Beast were really exaggerated and they had like human proportions and like big eyes and really big eyebrows and stuff. And then you got the face on the clock, which was literally as small as a clock face. And it was all in the voice performance, which was like fine, but it was way less compelling and emotionally engaging than when, you know, Mrs. Potts could like narrow her eyes at the little teacup.
Aladdin gets me to a larger problem that I've had with a lot of these Disney remakes, which is when they first started rolling these out, they were presenting different perspectives that you never got when the original animated movie came out. Like if you look at Sleeping Beauty, for example, when the Maleficent movie launched, you had a whole backstory on Maleficent and kind of what drew her to where she became this just evil being.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really interesting. Cinderella, the reboot there, you saw a lot of background in her family before her father remarried. And then she gets, you know, it brings us up to what happens in the movie. I feel like these movies like Aladdin are just straight up, let's remake this because it's going to make a ton of money.
Cash grabs.
That's it. And I feel like this is just all this is. It's just, this is the simple, get this out and let's get a ton of money and move on. And it doesn't have a lot of the interesting backstory or additional, in you know, detail that you can pull away from it that some of these earlier remakes have done.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because so, you know, Maleficent, the first one was, it was a prequel. It was about, well, how did this lady become, like, this evil witch? And they just released a teaser for the sequel, and it's starting to look like this is going to be the remake of Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, no.
Kind of. Well, I mean, there's, like, you know, there's Aurora, and she's sticking out her finger, and she's just like, she's going to stick something. It's like, where have I seen that before? So, you know, and then there's going to be the Cruella prequel with Emma Stone. Okay, so is that just going to lead to like yet another remake of 101 Dalmatians? Then that's stupid. then that's really cash grabs, because they get you over here and they're like, oh, well, yeah, this is a new story. You've never seen this before. And then they back into, well, you saw this other one, so we're just going to remake the thing we were going to make in the first place.
Well, I hope they make Lion King 1.5 into a live action remake. Speaking of Disney animated classics. If you don't know what that is, it was a direct-to-VHS movie from the late 90s.
It was so bad.
That I watched on repeat as a small child.
So we talked a little bit about, you know, some of the early stuff. What are some of the Disney live-action movies that we really like? I watched some of Maleficent, but I really liked a lot of the stuff they were diving into. I thought Cinderella was really interesting. I thought there was just a lot of backstory there that I really enjoyed. What were some of the ones that you both really liked?
I thought I was going to hate Beauty and the Beast because I never loved the animated version. I thought I was always kind of more of a Little Mermaid, Aladdin guy. I liked those more and Lion King more so than Beauty and the Beast. I thought Beauty and the Beast was a little overrated. But I liked the live action version because they added new songs. I thought, you know, Emma Watson was fine. But I really liked Dan Stevens as the Beast because they really kind of made that character as beastly and monstrous as he is kind of animated. They did a good job of like bringing that to live action more so than I ever would have thought. I've still never seen Maleficent, but I like when they do things like that, where they go back and they dig into something we know. Like I liked Oz, the Oz, the Great and Powerful.
Was that Disney?
I believe so. Yes. Yes, that was Disney. But I like that too, because it was taking something we knew and like adding to it. It was like, how did the wicked witches become wicked? I thought that was interesting. You know, it wasn't the greatest execution of all time, but just doing something different like that, I respect a lot more than like, okay, well, let's just redo Aladdin again.
Yeah, I actually think my favorite is The Jungle Book because of like the awe I had the first time I saw it. I have a huge bone to pick with Beauty and the Beast that is very personal, and you guys won't care about it, but I'm going to talk about it anyway, is just that they added new songs to it instead of adding the songs that they already added to the Broadway version of Beauty and the Beast, which is excellent, and those songs are so good. And instead, they added what I found to be far inferior songs to the movie. But in Beauty and the Beast, they wrote this song together called Human Again. Which is where all the little household objects talk about what they're going to do when the curse is broken. It was cut out of the movie for runtime. You could actually see it on some of, like, if you have, like, the special edition DVD of Beauty and the Beast, it's, like, a deleted scene. They animated it. Why not use that in the new movie? They had the household objects sing a different song. Howard Ashman was a lyrical genius.
Again, only human again, when the world once more starts making sense. I'll unwind for a change.
Really? That'd be strange.
Can I help it if I'm too tense? In a shack by the sea, I'll sit back sipping tea, let my early retirement commence. Far from fools made of wax, I'll get down to brass tacks and relax!
He died really young, and you left this song sitting in the Disney vault for no reason. I'm still bitter about it. I love Howard Ashman. I hope we talk about him more because Aladdin is coming out, because, you know, I feel like his legacy gets a little buried because he was a gay man who died of AIDS in the early 90s and was making family-friendly Disney movies.
So what are some of the ones that were the worst? There wasn't one that I particularly point out to that was really bad. I just, in general, am not a fan of just straight up, let's just take the animated movie and make it live action in the end.
I didn't love Jungle Book. I liked the visuals and everything. But it's, again, it's the same movie I saw as a kid. So I really didn't get the reason why we're redoing this. I mean, that's kind of the one I had the main bone to pick with. Alice in Wonderland, I didn't love either, just because it was just, again, it was something we've seen so much. I didn't see, they did a lot of cool visuals with it, but I don't think they went so far in kind of like really creating a world. And Alice in Wonderland 2 was just freaking terrible.
I really did not like either of those movies. I'm total agreement with Brian. The way you talked about Dumbo, though, makes me kind of want to see it, because maybe that was like Tim Burton doing that same strategy a little better this time, as opposed to the way that he did it with Alice in Wonderland.
I thought so. Alice in Wonderland, there was a lot more material because it was like based on a book. Dumbo was just like an hour long cartoon with a flying elephant. There wasn't like kind of like a lot deeper mythology with it. But, you know, Burton created something. I also didn't like that Christopher Robin movie. I thought that totally kind of sucked. It was just weird because it's just like, the animals are kind of cute, but then they're not kind of not.
No, they were not. They were terrifying and horrible. They ruined Winnie the Pooh.
Kelly has a very distraught look on her face. Like, I can't believe what they have done to Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh is my favorite. I did Winnie the Pooh Christmas stocking my whole life. And when I was little, I used to have a really intense nightmares about the Heffalumps and Woozles.
Wow.
The Heffalumps and Woozles are really scary. If you go back and watch The New Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, that was my, like, Winnie the Pooh TV show. It's one where it's like, gotta get up, gotta get going, gonna see a friend of mine. Anyways. The Heffalumps and Woozles are like big and technicolor. Like darkness with like all those like, you know, in cartoons when someone's like hypnotized, they have those lines and circles coming in. Yeah. I was like five.
That's pretty certainly scary for a five-year-old. Absolutely. So obviously Disney has got a ton of these in the works beyond Lion King. Is there one that you are looking forward to or one that you just flat out wish they would not touch at all? Kelly has her hand raised, so I'm looking forward. What is it?
Mulan. I'm so scared. Mulan is my favorite from like the 90s run of Disney animated films. And I've heard all sorts of terrible things, like they're not going to use the music. The music is like really amazing. And also, you know, they could really mess up like the girl power message. You know, I love Mulan so much, and I'm worried. I'm so worried. And it's also so recent. That one was from the late 90s. And, like, lots of the voice actors are still alive and still doing things. Lea Salonga, Ming-Na Wen, Eddie Murphy, Donny Osmond.
Brian, what about you?
Yeah, I don't have high hopes for that. The Disney Plus Lady and Tramp with real dogs. I don't know how well that's going to go. And I just read this, that they're going to redo Lilo and Stitch.
What?
Yeah, no, please don't. No. It was a nice little animated movie. Leave it alone. And then The Little Mermaid's going to come. I guess Lin-Manuel Miranda's having something to do with that. So maybe that won't totally suck. Dumbo didn't do great for him. I don't think Aladdin's going to make money, but I think it's going to be a rough go. And Lion King, I do wonder, somebody said that was going to make more money than Star Wars. I'm like, no. And so I do wonder how, after this year, how they'll view them, you know, if it's going to be worth all the money they must be putting into them.
And I'm very interested in the strategy of dumping three in 1 year, four if you count the Maleficent sequel, especially the two is high profile and from the same era as Aladdin and Lion King. I think Lion King was probably the one that they had the highest hopes for. And I think it's going to be negatively affected by both Dumbo and Aladdin. We'll just see how much it's negatively affected. And I wonder, now that they officially own Fox, and Fox is now part of their movie slate going to 2027, how important are live action, quote unquote, remakes going to be for them when they have a bunch of other stuff on their schedule that they didn't have before?
Maybe this is all part of the Disney cinematic universe and it culminates in Fantasia Endgame, which comes out in like 2 years. Anything's possible.
Well, and you do have to wonder when they're going to get around remaking Pixar things.
No.
Because that's going to happen. They're going to do a live action Toy Story. Within 5 years, I bet.
That would be terrifying. Yeah. I don't want to see real toys talk.
I feel like The Little Mermaid is so fraught with peril in terms of trying to make that into some live action thing. I just don't. That feels like a really challenging movie to do live action because there's so much underwater stuff. I don't know. Maybe it's
Aquaman. So
yeah,
I mean,
but
I didn't love the way Aquaman looked though.
Like CG lobster stuff.
And he won't be red. If they're gonna be real animals, lobsters aren't red till you cook them. Sorry, kids.
Is the bigger problem with these movies just having the
animal? Wait, isn't Sebastian a crab?
He's a crab. I just hit me. He's a crab. Yeah. He just hit me. He's a crab. He's totally a crab.
Whatever. The truth about lobsters is still from here.
Silly crustaceans. I feel like the movies that do, honestly, beyond the whole, you know, remaking literally the original movie, I can't tell if they're better off not doing the movies with all the animals and stuff. Is that part of the problem? Like, just trying to CGI all this stuff?
They figured out the technology. Now they're like, oh, cool, let's do everything because we have the technology. So they, like, keep incrementally doing the technology a little bit more. And they're like, well, we've got all this technology, let's use it. But why don't you just create a new original movie with photorealistic animals? But no, because no one's creative. Everyone's lazy. So we're going to remake the, you know, things we've already seen, classics with animal, you know, with real animals.
What you're saying is Disney was so preoccupied with whether they could, they didn't stop to think of whether they should.
Yeah.
Oh, nicely done. I like that. Here's the other thing, too. I don't want to see a real talking crab. Like, have you seen crab faces?
Do you want to see a real talking lion? Because you're going to get a pride full of them.
But here's the thing. Have you seen a crab face? Not exactly the prettiest creature
also,
on earth.
Neither are warthogs.
I don't know. If you've seen a baby warthog, they're kind of great.
Aw. Well, Pumbaa's not a baby.
True, but that's better than a crab. I mean, tiny beady eyes and like tentacles.
It's not going to be a real crab.
Look where they're going with the other animals. What are they going to do with the...
They're going to make it kind of crabby. Crab.
A crabby crab.
Adjacent.
Crab adjacent.
Crab adjacent.
Crab adjacent. All right. New movie coming from Disney Fox in 2029.
That's the sequel. That's like the prequel. Crab
the
adjacent.
Little Mermaid-ish.
Gee, wow.
Blackish. Mixed-ish. Grown-ish.
Oh, gosh. Okay, listeners, it's your turn. Are you looking forward to Aladdin? What do you think about Disney pushing all these live-action movies on us? Do you want a Sebastian prequel? Let us know on Twitter. You can find us at Mothership Pod, or you can tweet at us individually.
I'm sorry, this is my fault. I almost spit water out of my mouth when Brett asked about the Sebastian prequel.
That means we totally have to do what Disney get on the phone with us this time. You can find us on Twitter at Mothership Pod, but you can tweet at us individually. I'm at Brett Molina 23.
I'm at Brian Truitt.
And I'm at Kalawls, K-L-A-W-L-S.
Don't forget, you can send us email too. We're at mothershippod@usatoday.com.
And also at Mermaidish, which we're gonna go create right now.
Yes.
Little Sebastian.
Little Sebastian.
Don't. Oh. Evoking the name of the greatest... What, pony, mini horse? What is
mini
it?
Horse.
Mini horse.
Mini horse, that's
Don't
right.
Don't you dare call him a pony.
I know. I always mix it up. Okay, that'll wrap it up here. Thanks so much for listening. Special thanks to our pilots/producers of Mothership this week, Shannon Green and Natalie Boyd, who have to edit this, and I'm so sorry, but also thank you. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to the Mothership for free. While you're there, leave us a rating or a review. It helps other people find the show, and we greatly appreciate the feedback. And every 5-star review guarantees that Disney is going to give an extra percent chance of doing a Sebastian prequel, so seriously do this. If Apple Podcasts isn't your thing, you can find us on SoundCloud or Stitcher or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Next week, don't forget, we're going to talk about Game of Thrones because the series is finally over and there is lots to discuss. So until then, nerds out.
Later.
Bye-bye.